have returned just in time to save all you people from the boredom of the week, man. It's Fans of Patrol time. This is episode 337. Title of this show, what are we doing this week? I didn't forget already. Oh, we're doing Spiral, man. That's, you know,
Spiral.
That's a gory movie. I really can't call it horror, but it's gory. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How are you this week?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good too, man. I've been having, Mass Effect came out and I bought it and started playing it, and now I'm Bradley Shepard and the world feels better, you know, being Bradley Shepard. That's my character's name. So I'm having a good time, man. And it's three whole games, man. I played them before, but it's still, you know, they
remastered. Sometimes it's good an old glove's going to feel better than a new glove.
Oh, I like that. Now I'm going to use
soft.
That. Soft. With a little lamb skin on the back, you know.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you can buy vintage gloves, which a lot of people do,
they
like them because they've already been taken care of.
It's a wonderful thing.
Just saying, people, don't you let people shit on you.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So, man, this week, we got two news stories here that I'm pretty excited about. We're reviewing two trailers, Gunpowder Milkshake and Werewolves Within. Can't wait to talk about these two. We have a brand new segment, y'all. You're damn right. We're calling it You Fix It. We'll explain that a little bit more for the second segment. You Fix It. It's a brand new game, man. And like I said, at the top of the key, we are doing Spiral starring Chris Rock and some surprise person who I didn't know was in the damn movie, but he ended up being a pretty big part of it. So, saying all that, Tiff, are you ready to roll?
Yeah, let's do this shit.
Let's go. We are returned. Tell the people where they can reach us at, man.
Absolutely. For everything Fans of Patrol, visit our website. That's fansofpatrol.com. And then you get to us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fans of Patrol. And please subscribe to our YouTube. Obviously, listen to us on your favorite listening platform. And if you'd like to see us somewhere else, you can let us know. Otherwise, yeah, enjoy.
You know, Tiff, I feel compelled to tell the good people. This is another one of those recording sessions where we decide to crack open the liqueur and turn on the lounge music and just stretch our feet a little bit. So if you're listening to this, you might want to hold up and listen to this evening, stretch out, and, you know, just crack it open and just feel like you're sitting at happy hour with us, just, you know, talking crap. Just, you know, I felt compelled.
Yeah, see, sometimes if we're not upfront and honest, sometimes you get a text message that was like, are you drunk this week?
Yeah, I know.
And then you're like, no.
Listen, you were. Let me tell you something. Yeah. I am not drunk.
I think this movie's bad. So yeah, full disclosure.
Indeed.
We've both been drinking.
So, man, Tiff, these are your show notes. Why don't you hit us?
They are. So I put this in here because I thought it finally some stuff that would appeal to both of us, right?
You might be right.
So this actually is not a super new trailer because it came out probably not just this past week, maybe the last week.
I'm just not seeing this. This is my first time.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was honestly surprised that you didn't put it in last week's show notes. That's why I put it in this week's show notes, because I have the power now. So it is a story about female assassins.
John Wick-y.
Yeah, very John Wick, but also it's kind of a nudge and a wink. It's very, but it's highly stylized, kind of like a John Wick. It definitely has
tongue in cheeky.
A voice.
Yeah.
All these ladies are fucking awesome.
Karen Gilliam.
I love her.
Angela Bassett.
I adore her.
Oh my goodness.
And Michelle Yeoh.
Mm. Sure is. Man.
And then somebody else, I don't know the third woman or the fourth woman.
Oh, the one woman is she played the girlfriend in Night at the Museum. I can't remember her name, you know, but she was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this movie is full of famous people for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of you'll be like, oh, that person, that like Paul Giamatti's in it.
Yes, he is.
The woman from Game of Thrones.
Which one?
Cersei.
That is her. Yes, that is her. That is her ass.
It is her. It's kind of hard to tell because she's not blonde in this movie, but that's her. So it just is very kind of tongue-in-cheek, right? It's very, it's like John Wick if John Wick was a little bit, had a little bit more levity, right? Because there's it's funnier.
It's definitely goofy and lighthearted, but definitely violent. And Tiff, this trailer told me a story that I was like, if they just give me 2 hours of this, I am happy. You don't have to go deep with a story. The little girl is charming. It reminds me of the scenes from Face Off with the little boy with the headphones on it. Karen Gilliam is just awesome in this thing. And then we talking trailers. And then the scene where they come and all the ladies get together like, okay, we about to handle this. I'm just like, God damn, this is so hot. This is so hot. All these ladies, the ages are so different. You got from 20s to like damn it, well, 60s. Right. Yeah.
And they all look great.
They all look good. They kicking ass. The world looks so interesting, like a John Wick. But of course, it's like it's not as serious. It's not serious like John Wick. But
right,
you know what? It kind of looks like a really good Big Hit. Did you ever see that movie with Marky Mark, the Big Hit?
No.
Yeah, they were assassins in this fake world. So it kind of looks like that. I love that movie. If you ever get a chance to see the Big Hit, watch the Big Hit. But Jeff, this trailer looks awesome. All I thought was thinking was, this is pandemic stuff. This might come out in a week. When does this come out, man?
Right. Now we've all been like Pavlovian conditioned to like be like, fuck, I want that now.
And it comes like next week, right?
Right. Because they're like, well, we put it in the theater for 2 days. No one came. So now you can just purchase it for $20. They're like, okay.
Exactly.
It just looks really fun. Like you said, and we've discussed this on the show before. Sometimes people... So, like, later, if this movie comes out and it's not that great, I could see myself coming back to this trailer and watching it again in a few years just to enjoy the feeling that the trailer gave me, because it's just such a fun trailer. So I encourage you, like, if you are at all curious or you like shoot 'em ups or if you like Karen Gillan or if you like any of these people, watch the trailer.
Hey, Tiff, I guarantee you this. This is Nobody Part 2. We saw the Nobody trailer, went bonkers over it. We did the Nobody movie. We went bonkers over it. I bet you this is going to be a good movie. It's got too much good shit.
There's too much content. So when you watch a trailer, sometimes you're like, well, I will see this movie because I can see there's good parts in it. This trailer is good from beginning to end. It just makes you want to see more.
Yes.
Some trailers make you want to see it because you want to see if there's something else.
Yes.
Some trailers make you not want to see something because it's shitty. And some trailers are like, well, I don't care what the meat is in this sandwich. I want to see it.
Tiff, it's so much shit that I miss watching the trailer. I'm like, it's so much going on. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Look, hey, y'all. And I'm gonna say one more thing about it. If this the name of the movie is Gunpowder Milkshake, if it don't play My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard, I'm going to be pissed, man. It better be somewhere in there.
Oh, shit.
I just want to hear that song.
So, if it comes down to it, you can make your own. Put it in there yourself. Oh, my God. I mean, that was a total jam back in the day.
You're goddamn right.
Khalees.
Yes, with her fine ass. With her fine ass. Woo!
She wasn't that famous after that song, but she did have a song called Bossy that if you like Khalees, you should check out.
Oh my gosh, she was fine.
You're welcome. You know this is Fans on Music. That's what this is now.
Yeah, let us move on. But check this out, y'all. I can't wait for this. We're definitely doing it. Can't wait for this to come out. This is just like, this hit me just like Nobody. I was like, oh God. And I love Nobody. And just guess what? Nobody is doing so well, you still can't buy it yet. God damn. Will y'all please release Nobody so I can buy it? Okay, Tiff, what else you got? You dazzled me with the first one. What's coming up next?
So this movie, this trailer, is called Werewolves Within.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually, Mike showed me this trailer a little while ago. This is the second trailer. It's a comedy horror film. Which is one of my favorite genres, because as we discussed a few weeks ago, maybe it was last week, hybrid films.
Yeah, go back, check it out. We discussed all the hybrid stuff. We did our top, what, four? Hybrid comedies, yeah.
And so, like, this already is so charming, right? There's, like, it's an ensemble cast. There's a sheriff. I think he's new in this small town. People end up getting murdered, or they realize there's a werewolf. Something's going on. And so, like, somebody's like, oh, is there werewolves? And then everyone's like, no, right?
Right.
But it's, there's just like, they're in a rural southern town. They're like, who's packing? And everyone has a gun.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, it's really silly and looks very lighthearted and fun. Again, this trailer is one of the trailers that, like, I enjoy watching. It's really fun. You can already feel the personalities of a lot of the characters. You're like, I really feel that personality. But also, this trailer, I would say more than like the first trailer, I already knew I was going to watch the movie. I already fell in love with the movie, no matter what's going to happen, right? I'm going to want to watch that movie.
Oh, wow.
This trailer makes me want to watch this movie because I'm curious to know. I also enjoy the trailer, but I'm also more like, oh, what am I not seeing? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, you knocked it out of the park again, man. I love, you know, werewolves and vampires and stuff. I don't like the sexual assault vampires. I like, you know, the cool vampires. And so I love werewolves too. I mean, a lot of people on the show probably don't know that about me, but I used to live and breathe that stuff. First of all, I don't know who the black fella is. He is phenomenal.
He is so funny.
He is phenomenal. When the guy is coming at them.
That's why I was like, who is this? I've never seen this person before.
He might be a newcomer. When the guy is coming at them with the key and open the door, and they're like, whoa. They were panicking. They thought he was about to kill him. This trailer is full of so many great scenes. I cannot wait. Please. And you know something? The stuff that they're showing in the trailer is very subtle and funny.
Right.
Show me the movie because I guarantee you there's more.
You're gonna. That's what I'm saying. This is the trailer that pulls you in by saying, "Hey, we have something else going on here, and you're gonna want to see it."
And then,
right? Whereas Gunpowder Milkshake says, "This is what we have going on, and you're gonna want to see it."
Yeah.
Right. There's like a subtle difference between the two of them, but I don't know if you noticed. But the guy who plays Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. Of course,
he's in there. And there's a part in this trailer where the guy's like, "Oh, you're really gonna have a Mexican standoff right now?" And he's like, "Well, don't." Don't say Mexican. Just say standoff. Right. And it's just that guy, I just find him so effortlessly charming.
Oh,
right?
He doesn't have to do anything. He's just like he's like the fat kid in JoJo Rabbit.
You just love him, right?
Right, exactly.
Like if I met him, I would just adore him. Like we would automatically be friends because he's just so. There's just something about him is enigmatic and interesting and funny, and he has a great delivery. A lot of people in this movie, this trailer. They have a great delivery, right?
Hey, Tiff, you know what this really reminds me of? But it's very different. Huh. It reminds me of Knives Out. You know, it has that.
Yes, it does have that vibe.
That same vibe, man. You know, but here we got werewolves. And that joke you're talking about I laughed out loud. When, you know, we're going to have a sleepover. You know, anybody got guns? Yeah, we're going to have a sleepover with guns. You know, so it was very.
And the black sheriff's like, yes. With gun.
I mean, who is this guy? This guy has, I laughed out loud like 3 times watching this trailer at him. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. And I don't know who this dude is.
Well, so it's like, trailer is a lot of what I really appreciate. It's like very subtle comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Where like even people's like movements or just like their facial expression makes you laugh. And that's not easy to do in a trailer because a lot of that stuff has to do with like your familiarity with characters or the nuance of the scene. So I'm super pumped. I really want to see this. I also love werewolves, as you may know.
So here we go. You delivered us 2 super duper. We want to see this now. Werewolves Within, guys, and Milkshake. These are not on any of our websites and stuff like that. I'm going to put it on our Facebook before the show is over with. So you guys can go check it out and see what we're talking about. Really, really good. I can't wait to see it. You know, pandemic movies have been hit and miss, right? Some of them are been good. Some of them have been like, oh, it's a pandemic. You kind of see. You know, this shit looks great. This looks great.
Right.
Like, even like Nobody, you can tell it was a pandemic movie only because, like, you know, it didn't need that many people. So it thrived. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And these look great, Tiff. I can't wait to see these. When are these, Tiff, I'm telling you, this shit comes out soon. Because you know, by the time we got a trailer now with the pandemic stuff, we get a movie like 2 weeks later, man. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for these two, man. Well done, Tiff. And I missed this shit. How the hell did I miss this?
For once, I get praised for what I've given you.
Yeah,
Werewolves Within, July 2nd.
July 2nd. Cool. Then that's beautiful.
So not too far away.
Right.
Yeah, less than a month now.
Now, Tiff, okay, let's have a conversation. Because God damn it, that's the way trailers should be. This trailer a year away from shit opening is ridiculous. The Star Wars of the world, the Marvels of the world giving you a teaser a year before release.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No. I don't need to be that goddamn hype. About time the movie come, I'm I got no hype left. You know? I mean, and that's happened. It's happened so many times. About time the movie comes around, I'm like, whatever, you know, whatever. But give me a couple months. Give me, say 3 months max, right? I'm feeling good. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm waiting for that movie. Y'all hearing that, Hollywood? We know some of y'all listen to this Fans on Patrol podcast.
July 14th for Gunpowder Milkshake.
July 14th. So July is going to be good for Fans on Patrol,
gonna
y'all.
It's going to be a good month.
And they're going to make us go to the movies to see this too, Tiff, because, you know, the more time passes, you know, the more things open up. You know, the United States hit an all-time low for coronavirus today. I saw in the paper. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, and that's a beautiful thing, right? Because we tired of this shit, you know? I'm not looking forward to going back to the movies, but I'm tired of
I
want to
breathe
shit.
In a stranger's face. Right. Just be like, that's what I'm...
Without catching a felony from it.
Yeah, I want to... as a prolific sire, I sigh a lot. It's been a very hard year.
I bet. People, every time you do that shit, everybody look at you and what you doing? What's wrong? What you got?
So, I'm ready to get back to stay on a sigh.
Yeah, well. Well, anyway, man. Very well done, Tifflebot. Two quick stories. It's time for us to take a break, and we're going to come right back with our brand new section that we're going to tell everybody about. Hold on to your cheeks, y'all. We are back, man. It's time for a news section, man. It's not a game. The name of it is You Fix It, Man. So I was brainstorming, Tifflebot. I was sitting, and I wasn't even trying to come up with something new for the show, but I was thinking, and I was like fixing a movie in my mind as it was going. I was like, you know, this would be pretty good if they just did this and that and this, and then it'd be bam. And then I thought about it. I said, we do that shit all the time. Why not make a segment out of it? You know what I'm saying? Let's take a couple movies and, you know, try to do everything in your power, brainstorming, to fix the damn thing. And for a lot of these movies, it's not even a lot you got to do. They make such fatal mistakes with some of these things. It's like, damn, you fools, if you just did this, you know. And it doesn't have to be a failed movie. It could even be a movie that people love, but I can make it better. This would have made it, you know, it's like Return of the Jedi. Take out the goddamn Care Bears and you would have had a goddamn movie, you know. So anyway, man.
That's probably the one you should have done. You feel so passionately about those fucking bears.
Oh, God. Just get rid of the goddamn Ewoks, you know.
Get rid of them. They're so cute, though. Anyway, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, little boys didn't want cute in 1983. Anyway, so this week, man, we chose two different movies. Now, what we were supposed to do is we both take a crack at the movie. But Tiff never seen the movie I did, and we were kind of like trying to figure out what to do to start this off. So we said, you do a movie, I do a movie. So Tiff, your movie is?
So I chose Army of the Dead, pretty fresh.
Army of the Dead, which we destroyed, which Tifflebot, people, they kind of like that movie. You know, all the other podcasts and reviewers, they kind of dug that movie. We might be standing alone in the cold.
I know,
I destroyed it with you, which is unusual.
That is unusual. I am surprised. And this is nothing against anyone who does genuinely like it. But sometimes I wonder if people just, they're like, yeah, I didn't hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not hating is not the same as liking it.
Well, this can be like Rome sometimes, Tifflebot. The spectacle of the situation. Zack Snyder is really good at a spectacle. You know, he gives you the pretty, but then all this other shit goes with it. So you always feel conflicted of what you're looking at, you know. So anyway, you're doing Army of the Dead, and I'm going to fix Aliens 3. Okay? And when I finish with it, you don't need none of the rest of those Alien movies, just so you know. So, Tipo Bob.
Yeah, look to us, Hollywood.
Right. Tell us how
we're
you
here
would
to help you.
How you would have fixed Army of the Dead.
Okay. So, I said this on the show, so you guys all know that I would cut probably the first 15 minutes of the movie.
What part? What was the first 15? The montage and shit. That's you talking about the montage and
well, the montage can probably stay.
Okay.
But I mean, if I had to sacrifice it, I would, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Because that was probably the funnest part of the whole movie.
I'm about to say, why would you cut the montage?
I'm talking about like the origin story of the zombie. I don't care.
Oh, the soldiers. The soldiers. Have, yeah.
Because when you watch the whole thing, mm-hmm, it doesn't add anything to the to it. I thought so. Okay.
You might be right with that. You might be right.
Right. So like, and because of that, I don't need the backstory of a zombie because it's in the zeitgeist. I already fucking know how zombies
You said
came
that
to be.
On the original show. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So like, I thought it was interesting because they had, one of them said it's an angel. And I was like, holy shit, he's going to fucking say that an angel that fell to earth is the original zombie. That's a pretty original and interesting idea. That didn't fucking happen.
Did they say that?
One of the guys said they didn't know what they were transporting. And one of the guys, and I just remember that very clearly. One of the guys in the truck said it's an angel. He was just guessing because he was transporting something from Area 51 or whatever.
Hey, Tifflebot, I did what? Like the banter between those two soldiers, but that was just me.
Yeah, but that's not enough of a reason to include that in the movie.
That's true. That's true. Go ahead.
And if you like that banter, you could have gave that between the two of the other soldiers that were part of the whatever.
That's true.
So okay. There's that whole thing.
There you go. Okay.
So I would get rid of the semi-sentient zombies, like as far as like them having a society or children or whatever.
You would have cut that whole thing, huh?
Well, I had zombies, but I will say because it never led anywhere. It didn't change the outcome of the movie. Okay. I guess the idea was that it gave the zombie a reason to hate humans, but I would assume that even if that wasn't the case, right?
It didn't
change what they were going to do. Right. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
You killed my baby. I'm going to kill you. You were going to kill me anyway, right? You're a zombie. Okay? So it doesn't change anything in the movie, right? It's just unnecessary garbage. I would get rid of the plot regarding
the what?
That's for me.
What? I'm sorry. What happened?
The bad guy from the camp.
Oh, Shades.
That added nothing to the plot.
It did
other
not.
Than the fact that, like, hey, remember this guy? Now he's dead.
And as a zombie, okay, he's going to attack you. So you have a better reason to kill him. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And I thought about this. Mm-hmm. I would actually get rid of the daughter altogether.
I agree with you, Tifflebot. Get her the hell out. She brought
because, like,
nothing.
You're trying to give us emotional resonance for Dave Bautista, right? Who I couldn't remember his name when I was making these notes, so I called him Punchy Magoo.
Punchy. You know, I had more the hot Latina girlfriend resonated with me more. But go ahead.
But because they had this other plot with his wife and his daughter, which didn't really add anything to the film or give us anything, whatever. Like, you know what you could have done? If you wanted to keep that plot with the people from the camp, which I get it, that's your boner.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had it been like, hey, we're coming in here to get $20 million. We're paying this person from the camp to bring us in. She could have been going in to get them. She could have been like, well, if I'm going in with you, I'm going to have this side mission to give these people back.
Yes.
Right? If you really needed to have that. But again, that could have all gone away. Nobody cares, okay?
Okay.
Additionally, the last thing. So, like, to replace the plot, the emotional plot of the daughter.
Damn, she was terrible.
What I would do.
That whole thing was terrible. You're right, Tipplebot.
Yeah, get that gone. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So to replace the emotional resonance that we needed, they should have made the black guy a rookie.
Who was the greatest character in the movie, but go ahead.
Right. They should have made him like a cadet back when they were fucking in the Army of the Dead, right? And he looked up to Punchy Magoo. He was
Punchy
like,
Magoo.
That guy's like a dad to me because he's you know what I mean? Like I'm a grunt, he's a sergeant. Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I looked up to him. He taught me how to be a soldier. He dies. He's like, I, you know, you can handle this. Go on without me,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then at the end, instead of the black guy being bitten by a zombie, I want him to be like, I miss you, Punchy Magoo. And then he opens the bag, and he's got the zombie head.
Oh, wow.
Right?
So he wins. So there's a winner out of your version.
There's a winner, but also there's, like, some emotional, like, the end is much more emotionally turbulent and resonant with people because, like, you like him, Mm-hmm. You're rooting for him. You want him to survive, but then you find out he's done like a somewhat bad thing because he wants to make money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
he
deserves to have made money. He did that thing, so he's got the zombie head. Then it'll be up to the audience, like, what's the gray area? Is he a good person or a bad person? That's what makes a good movie, right?
So you still would have killed off the whole team like they did in the movie, then? Huh?
No, still kill. I mean, like, if you want that, I think that can be left in, and then you would feel even worse that he had that zombie head, right? It's all about like the things that like make humans complex, not like just character sketches that like, oh, that guy, blah blah blah, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It lacked the poignancy it was trying to tell me that it had. And it's just like these very small things. I mean, hit me up, Zack Snyder. First of all, I can teach you how to make a better movie. Second of all, I can teach you how to make a fucking shorter movie.
Hey, you know, right. That was your biggest. First of all, shorten it by an hour. You know, the movie, the best thing it had going for it, with the exception of the daughter, it had great effing characters, Tifflebot. I really connected with a lot. I connected with the safecracker, with the black guy, with the Latino guy, and even the Latino woman who got killed first. They were great characters, and it was just like, you know, wow, you're killing them for nothing. I mean, even when they died, it wasn't like, oh, well, they died for this reason. It was just like, okay, you're going to get rid of all these good characters. Okay, fine. It's Predator. I get it. But
right. It
really, what was the point, you know? I mean, especially when you killed the love interest. That we didn't know was a love interest until she became a love interest.
Right. That was such a fucking surprise to the point where you're like, you spent so much time setting up all this other bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't care.
You didn't give me a little hint about that? Yep. That seemed like out of nowhere.
It did. It absolutely did. Like a reshoot almost. Woo. Well, Tiff, that's a totally different movie.
You're welcome.
And that actually gives you a rock solid sequel. So there you go.
Yes, see, you know what? I guess I'm just going to quit my job and move out to Hollywood because I've got ideas.
Yeah, just call me the fixer. I'm going to fix this shit before you start shooting. Come bring that script to me.
I'll help you. Right. That's what they should call me. They should call me the fixer, kind of like the mob. And then I will just fix your stupid fucking script for you since you obviously are chewing your own ass to figure it out yourself.
It was a struggle. That movie was a struggle.
I'm sorry.
Thank God it was pretty, though. And I will just add this. Do more with the tiger. Just don't let the tiger do it.
Do more with the tiger. I would love that to be the fucking review of the fucking Army of the Dead. Do more with the tiger.
Do more with the tiger. You had this cool tiger. It just ate up one dude. I wanted to see the tiger doing more thing. I thought it looked cool, you know. Do more with the tiger. So, man, I went and took a oldie, but is it not even a goldie, you know. So, Aliens franchise is long and strong, Tifflebot. Some of the worst movies in the world has the alien tag on it. And then some of them don't, like Prometheus and things like that. You know, Ridley Scott has been trying to make this thing just work. He had a masterpiece with Aliens way back in the 80s.
Right.
And then in the later 80s, he peaked with Aliens, which was Aliens 2. And one of the greatest movies of all time. We loved it. We loved Ripley. We loved Hicks. We loved Hudson. We loved the Sarge. All the characters that they gave you that you really, really, really started, really liked. And then when they started killing them off, you were like, no, no, no.
But that's part of what makes a good movie, right? You pay for what you get.
You pay for what you... It was earned, Tifflebot.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
And so, you know, they've had plenty of alien movies after that. Now, they came out with Aliens 3 in the 90s, starred Charles S. Dutton, Sigourney Weaver, bunch of other people, man, you know. And it sucked, man. You know, she cracked. So apparently she didn't exterminate the alien that she threw out in Aliens. And even though you show it getting shot way away from the ship, right? Apparently, something else got on there, ended up killing a little girl who she worked so hard for, and Hudson, Hicks. Now, shit like that bugs the F out of me, Tifflebot. When another director or a writer comes onto a situation and says, you know, all the shit that this person did in the last movie, and within a sentence, we're going to nullify it. It's so cheap. It's such a bastard move. But that's what happened. The little girl was dead. Hicks was dead. And Ripley was on this prison planet. And it was full of all these prisoners. The alien bust through a dog, so it kind of was a different alien. So it was like running like a dog. And all these prisoners, who you didn't give a rat's ass about, were getting picked off. Now, in the first movie, we learned our lesson. We cared about all these characters that were really well developed. And in this third movie, you didn't develop any of these characters and you were killing them. And we were supposed to care. Didn't happen. You know. And you shaved the heroine's head and made her unattractive. Gave her a bald head back when bald heads wasn't cool. Even Sinead O'Connor didn't even have a bald head back in the day. And so it just sucked. It sucked so bad. It was such a disappointment. It was one of the biggest disappointments in like cinema history to me, man. It's like really up there with the top five. Sounds like a list, Tipplebot. Biggest disappointments.
Fair. Right. I mean, I have a lot of those.
Right. So, you know, I'm going to fix it, man. First of all, the ship never, ever, ever crash lands on that prison planet. It totally makes it to Earth. Now, the alien queen was on the ship. It got blown through the airlock, but she managed to lay one egg. But we're on Earth now, right? We're on Earth now. So this thing, they had Aliens Predator versus Predator Requiem, one of the worst movies in Fans of Patrol history, where the alien and predator was walking around the suburbs killing people like Jason from Friday the 13th. Yes. It was awful. You want to have it killing people? Have it kill people in the future. You got an alien running around the city and having baby aliens. So we're on Earth. This shit gets out of control too fast. All right? Hudson is now he was a corporal, so now he's like a captain or something like that. Ripley has not joined the military, but they come and get her again. Newt is like a teenager, scrappy little teenager. And all of a sudden, all-out war breaks out on Earth. But you still have all the Marines and all the Air Force and all the weapons and all the aliens. And it's a battle for the planet, man. And all kind of shit is going on. Little girls and people are dying. And, you know, soldiers is killing people. And it's like full of testosterone and estrogen and just dope. And you don't even have to end the movie. You can just do that. And now you start your 2B continues with maybe the aliens winning. And then you have the ragtag force where they had to abandon the Earth because it's just like this haven for the aliens and shit. And you got all these sequels based on a totally different thing at this point, opposed to what the hell y'all did. So my movie, Aliens 3, is a totally different movie. And that's how you fix Aliens. You never, ever, ever.
Listen, I've never seen this movie.
Okay.
As we just, obviously.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I would watch whatever you're talking about because everyone loves a battle for the planet Earth.
Yes!
Just ask Independence Day.
Right! But
we want to feel, so like as much as humanity hates each other and wants to tear each other down, the thing that we love the most is when the whole fucking world unites and then we're like, we're one people.
Thank you, because we know it's bullshit.
It's us against the aliens.
Right. You know, but that's what they did not do. They did this, I mean, and then they killed Ripley at the end of the movie, you know? So she survived all that just to die. And it was like, come on, man. This shit sucks. And nobody cared about all these prisoners dying. You know, it was so stupid. My movie is better. That's how you fix the entire Alien franchise.
My movie is better. That's what we should call this segment. My movie's better.
Hey, we can change it anytime we want.
My movie's better. Oh.
It has hereby been changed and my movie is better. There we go.
My movie's better. Stamped, approved.
So there we go, y'all. Y'all let us know y'all thoughts on these two things, you know.
We'll be right back.
All right, man, we are back. It's time for the Big Daddy of the Day. You know what? Before I go any further, though, it's been a while since I shouted out people like Big Pen Kim and Victor Albaran, man, our homies, you know. And shout out to Joey DiCarlo. And I'm thinking about, you know, Joey was on the show last week. And so yes. I had asked last week, you know, because the Snake Eyes trailers had came out. and I asked folks who was your favorite Joe. Joey was the only one that responded, man, you know. He gave me a top five. His fifth one was Hardball. I don't know who the hell that is. And I'm a G.I. Joe fan. This must have been like the 90s Joes. Flint, I think he's my second favorite Joe.
So is this his top five favorite Joes?
Top five favorite Joes. Snake Eyes, which is my favorite Joe. That was his number three. How dare you put Snake Eyes at number three? Lowlife, I remember him. He didn't have much lines, but he was, you know, he was supposed to be cool. But I remember Lowlife. And his number one was Shockwave. I don't know who the hell Shockwave is, man. I don't know.
Isn't Shockwave the jet that screams?
No.
Wait, that's Transformers.
You're thinking of Transformers. And Shockwave was pretty cool on the Transformers. I don't know who the hell Shockwave.
That's a real Transformer?
Yeah, that's Shock. Yeah,
hell
Shockwave.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so fucking proud of myself, okay?
You're in the total.
I wasn't right about what we were talking about. However, remember.
Yeah, I don't remember who the hell Shockwave was. But
it's also weird that you call them Joes, dude.
Joes, because that's what they call them on a TV show, on a cartoon. You know, it wasn't.
Why don't they call them G.I. Joes?
Because, you know, they shorten it. They would be like, you know, the Joes, you know, yeah, they call them Joes, like with the S. And you corrected me when we were talking about this, and I was like, no, they call them Joes. They literally call them Joes. So, yeah, Snake Eyes was definitely my favorite. Flint was probably number two. Kind of like Lady J, too, but, you know. Anyway. So anyway, man, shout out to, you know, that core fandom, man, you know.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? Thank you, Joey. That's awesome. I like hearing people's, like, listen, I'm with myself all the time, okay? I already know what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you're thinking.
You know, thank you,
Victor. Send us your lists. If you hear a list, first of all, if you hear a list that we've done and you want to share your list. We want to hear it.
Exactly.
But also, if you have an idea for a list that you want us to do, let us know.
Oh, that's a good one. And again, thanks, Vic, and thanks, Ken. Mm. The only three people listening to the show, I'm just playing. And Brandon.
Maybe my mom. Probably not. She doesn't know what a podcast is.
So anyway, man, we got a show to do here, Tiff.
Yes, so, I'm ready.
So we were gonna go to the movies. We thought about going to the movies to see Spiral, and then I looked up and Spiral was on demand. So I was like, wonderful. We can do Spiral. So man, here we are with this crime horror mystery thriller, okay? 2021, rated R, 1 hour 33 minutes. Pretty good time for Tiflebot, I thought, when I saw that.
Yeah, when I gotta tell you, when I saw how short it was, I was like, hell yeah.
Tiff don't like
it. It really got me going. I was like, yeah.
So, Tiff, a criminal mastermind unleashes a twisted form of justice in Spiral, the terrifying new chapter from the Book of Saw. I don't like that synopsis. Anyway, because they left the, you know, the they went to like the terrifying Book of Saw. You know what I'm saying? Y'all didn't have to do that. Anyway, man. So that's it, man. So it's time, man, for one word. So I'm going to go first with my one word. I'm not really a horror person, guys, but I said I was going to try to get into horror, and I'm not getting into horror with this movie. So the name of this, I mean, my one word is uneventful. It felt really regurgitated and really already done with just adding some torture shit, you know, in it. And I was kind of disappointed, you know, even though they had some heavy hitters in it, because the movie stars Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson, which was a surprise to me at the time, you know, and then we have Max Mangala and Marsola Nicholas, who stars in it, and then some other people, but no big actors. So Tiff, what is your one word?
Awful.
Awful. Damn.
It's awful. It's awful. God damn. Honestly, it's really weird that we talked about Army of the Dead on this week's show, because I feel like this plot-wise got a lot worse off than that. Kind of like you said, there was like torture in it. And I'm not a big fan of... Okay, so you know I like ultra-violence, and like Hardcore Henry has like a lot of gruesome violence in it. John Wick... also, a lot of movies that I watch are gory horror films.
But watching people suffer
is something
right.
different.
It's, yeah. it's not even that so much as that, like, there's nothing, there's no other elements of horror in these movies that lets me enjoy it, right? So, like, it's kind of like the only good part, quote-unquote good parts in this movie are those times when something really awful is happening, and it's just so gratuitous in a way, because, like, because when you watch how weak the plot is and how bad the rest of the movie is, and then you see these things, I'm like, well, is this just for people who want to see gross things happen? Because, like, I mean, it's a gross-out thing. It's like a splatter. It's,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, I'm, full disclosure for everyone, I've never saw a single Saw movie, ever.
Right.
This is my first foray into this. So, yes. I mean, was the Saw movies, were they, you know, plot driven? Were they good? Or
No, I think that they have all, I think that they are, they kind of ushered in a new era of horror.
Well, you had a torture porn, you know, with you had Saw and you had all those shitty movies that came out where people were just getting tortured and shit, you know. That came,
right. Yeah. Like, what's the grossest or most horrible thing? What's the most cringy?
I know Quentin had did one. Show. I can't remember the name of the series. I think they had about two or three movies.
There's like Hostel.
Hostel, right.
That Hostel, yeah. I mean, it's just like, how gross can we make? Like, you know what I mean? And there's obviously grosser movies. There is a genre of movies that gross, just to see how gross they can be. But I don't like it because, like, I don't want to see gross things just to see gross things. You know what I mean? I want to see plot-driven shit that might also be gross, but it has to have something to back it up. So, well, that's part of my problem with this movie.
I knew what I was getting into with this movie when I
went. Right. I'm familiar with Saw.
Yeah.
Like, I also have not actually seen any of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I have seen some of a few of them just because, like, I've been around, right? So I've seen like some of, I think I've seen the opening of like the second or the third one, which is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Like, even those ones are like kind of like intentionally bad. I'd say, like, probably if you were to talk to people who like these movies, they would say obviously the first one's probably the best one. But now it's just like, how, you know what I mean? Like, how?
Well, let me say this, Tiffle.
It's ridiculous.
Let me say this. Yes. That, well, you had this. What attracted me to this is that I saw that Chris Rock starred in this, and I was unaware that Samuel Jackson was in this. But I was right. like, this must be a different thing. You know, it's not like Chris Rock is like this super A-list actor. You know, I said, you know, he's doing something here.
But also,
so let me check it out.
He's not a super A-list actor, but he's not like just some.
No.
He's recognizable.
Absolutely.
He's like a person that you know.
Absolutely.
It's not just like some wahoo that they were like, yeah, that guy, right? You know who that is.
He literally, like, this is his first foray into like being the star of the movie. I mean, he did like CB4 way back in the day, which was a goddamn funny movie. But to be like in a serious role, him doing this. And so, you know. Saying that, you know, let's just get into it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. This movie, honestly, when we talk about it, it's not complex.
No.
The plot likes to think it is.
Yeah, it does. Isn't. So let's just throw spoilers and let's get into it. Movie stars, man.
So I want to talk about this fucking first scene so bad.
Please go.
When I was watching this, I was like, is this the fucking 40s? I was so confused about what time period it was. Because everyone's wearing a straw hat. I don't know where they are. Is it the South? Is it New York? Like, I don't know where they are because no one wears hats like that.
Yeah.
And it's not just one guy. It's many guys.
You know what it reminded me of? Honestly, I'm going to mess you up because the heat was going on and they were wearing those hats. It reminded me of Predator 2. You remember that?
Let me tell you what it reminded me of.
What's that?
Charlotte's Web.
Damn.
When they go to the county fair.
Oh, God.
I was like, I was so confused by this. And I want to talk about this now because we could talk about it later when it actually comes up. This man gets taken down into the subway, or he follows a thief, a crime person into the subway.
Let me stop you right there.
Yes.
He did not appear to me to be the officer that cares so much about justice that he would follow.
Yeah, that he would chase someone while he's on his day off and
into the sewer. Yes, it was a petty. It was just a purse. It was just a goddamn.
I would be like, yeah, he went down there. I'm not going down there, and I definitely wouldn't go into a sewer without backup.
Your purse is gone, lady.
You can come file a police report, ma'am. I'm not going down in that hole.
Exactly.
So he goes, and it's not the sewer, it's the subway.
Yeah, because it was huge down there.
So it must be a huge, it must be a big city. It must be like New York or something because it has a subway.
It was LA. It was definitely LA.
Oh, LA. Okay. But like, does it not seem like it was set in the past?
No, it didn't. Those hats.
So they get,
those hats, they did. There, yeah. But no, it wasn't.
The hats, yes. They get down there. Just like all Saw movies, he is knocked out with chloroform or some shit and he wakes up. With his tongue in a trap, and he has to decide between ripping his own tongue out and getting hit by the train.
Hey, Tifflebot, this was the worst shit in the whole movie.
It was. I have a big mouth.
I don't. Related fear. I don't. But to me, out of all the things that happened in this movie, this is far the worst. And I was like,
yes, it is the worst. It is definitely the worst one. It's they also the finger one was pretty bad, but like.
This
and this particular one, they spend a lot of time really showing you what's happening in his mouth.
I had to turn away because, you know,
I did too. When I was watching this, I said, I don't even know what my Montego wants to watch this. He's not a big fan of gory stuff.
No. I've gotten into the horror lately, especially with the Conjuring shit and all that stuff. You know, that shit is like, ooh, I kind of dig it. But this torture stuff, not really. But. Come on, Tiff. It's a brand new movie, and it has Chris Rock in it.
I get it.
And so let's do it.
So even though he does end up kind of ripping, he kind of falls, right? So he gets the worst of both worlds. He gets hit. The tongue comes out, and then he gets hit and explodes. So
poor A.
I want
to
talk.
Shout out to the poor, like, subway driver who gets traumatized for life.
BTW. Gets for life. That happens to people. That happens to subway drivers and train drivers. That's really unfortunate.
Just screwed for life with that
fuck,
image.
You fucked up.
Burned right? into your image, right? Yeah. So right. So then our hero comes.
That's probably the best actor in the whole fucking movie is that poor train. You see his face; he's just like. But I want to talk before we move on.
That's funny you say that. Go ahead.
Later on, it's revealed that Boz, they call him Boz, was killed, and I'm like, this person who you all like so much has been missing for a day. His wife doesn't know he's... I mean, like, they never talk about, like, why they weren't, like... Because, like, he was gone for a whole day. And then they're like, he was killed? I'm like, weren't you fucking curious about, like, where he's been? Do you know what I mean? Like, right. His wife was like, he's dead. It's like, were you not concerned when he didn't come home last night?
So, this is... So... We get introduced to our hero. We get introduced to the whole crew. And I'm really watching Chris Rock in this because I know he's not a dramatic actor, but he's been in some pretty decent movies, but he's never been the heavy for the whole thing. And I don't know, you know, that look that he has on his face, he's trying to be serious. I'm not sure.
It doesn't quite get there.
It doesn't get there.
There's times in this movie...
It doesn't. You're right. It doesn't get there.
Right. There's times in this movie when I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, he's doing a pretty good job. And then there's sometimes when I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, he's doing a really bad job.
I'm going to tell you something. When he first came on the scene, it was almost like a Chris Rock monologue, the way he was just like tearing up everybody. I was like, what is he going to be, a goddamn comedian the whole time? Because he came in and he like took on like, what, four or five people. He just made like four or five jokes really quick. And I was like, ugh. But then, I mean... At, like you said, at some points it was like, okay, I'm cool, and then at some points it wasn't. This movie really reminded me of that Denzel Washington movie we watched. It seemed like it was trying to be that, the one with Jared Leto. What was the name of that movie?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it almost had that vibe to it.
It's uneven because like.
It's very uneven. That's a good.
Like the acting, good. Yes. The movie isn't really well written. And part of my problem, first off, so in the beginning of the movie, he's undercover, without permission from his chief.
Doesn't happen. Get out of here.
Yeah. Right? They were like, you're going to get punished. I'm like, you're going to be put on administrative leave and probably fired. You don't get to just do whatever you fucking want to.
Yeah. And his dad was the chief and. The woman was the dad's partner, and it was like, wow, y'all really trying to like, you know, make us like, you're trying to world build too heavy, too fast.
Right. You got too much going on and it's not working. I'm like, that doesn't check out. So like So one of the things in this movie is like that you're talking about. He's in the office with his chief and she's like, you can't do this. As a punishment, I'm giving you a partner. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I can't trust anyone. And so they're alluding to an event that happens in the past. We find out about all that stuff, right? It gets revealed to us in the end. But also it seemed really unnecessary to me for this movie. It just seemed like everything that happens in this movie, I'm just like, it doesn't matter.
To me, the relationship between him and the rookie was actually working. It was one of the things that was working. And later on in the movie, when they killed the rookie, you know, it was like, damn, y'all did that shit out of nowhere. And this is the only thing that I was digging. I was liking when the guy was on the phone and his baby was like crying and stuff. And he was still trying to like, he didn't give a shit whether these guys thought he was a rat and all this stuff. He was just trying to, I was like, this is pretty good. They could have made this movie about the two of them, but no.
Right. And like,
they had this other thing going on.
I feel like this is going to be a contender for my movies better.
Absolutely right.
But part of my major problem with this movie, and I get that it's, you know, to a certain, but that's my problem, is that there has been horror that has been done well, right? There's tons of horror that's like classic fucking cinema, not, you know what I mean? And I get that not every movie is going to be classic cinema, but my part of my problem with this movie is that, like, so we all know what, when in writing they call it show, not tell, right?
Yes.
Show me that it's nighttime. Don't tell me that it's nighttime.
Yeah.
Basically. But this movie, they would literally verbalize stuff like, well, I'm mad at my dad because he abandoned me. Or like they would tell you how the character, well, I've been betrayed.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking show me that shit. You don't, and it happened consistently throughout the whole movie. You're right.
They would say it and then they would show the flashback.
Yes.
Which meant you wasted a scene showing.
Let me ask you how you felt about this fucking. So there were some like legitimate flashbacks where like he flashes back to when he was betrayed and stuff like that that go in with the plot, right?
Yeah.
But then there are times when like in the movie, like for instance, later on something happens to the chief.
Yeah.
Okay. And they flash back. They're like, he's like, ooh. And they flash back to what happened 3 minutes ago in the movie. I'm like, I don't need a flashback for 3 fucking minutes ago. Who's watching this? A moron?
I'm going to tell you something else. You knew the moment you walked in that every cop was dirty. And
they're all dirty. They're all going to die.
And when I saw the wife, the bright white wife beater across the chest of the young Latino captain, I was like, they definitely gonna torture her because she's hot. and they making sure that you see that she's hot and she got a nice, and everybody wanna be with her, but they're gonna make sure that she dies and he's not gonna be the savior. The moment I saw her, Tiff, I knew that was gonna happen. And I was like, damn.
Well,
y'all really did that. Go ahead.
Yes. When it is her turn to be jigsawed, right before that happens, he's like, He's throughout the movie, he's getting like recordings on flash drives and CDs and shit and tape recorders. So right before she goes down, which by the way, they get a fucking box with
no bombs, supposedly
with the skin in it.
Yeah.
And they're just digging around in there with their fucking fingers.
Yeah.
It's like, that would go straight to evidence. So like later on, I mean, and I get that it's a movie. I get it. But like, so later on, she goes down to the evidence locker
by herself.
Then there's no guard down there.
Nothing.
Later it turns out there was a guard, but he's not doing his fucking job. So before that, they go, I'm going to take your head. And I was like, so I turned on my mic and I was
so
like,
obvious. So obvious. And not even as a moviegoer, to me,
just as a person.
As a person should have been like, well, your ass is
They're
next,
talking
Captain.
About you.
Matter of fact, why don't we have a conversation?
These people are fucking detectives.
Right. Why don't we have a conversation?
And you can't figure out a stupid children's riddle?
About all the shit.
A play on words?
He should have stopped and said, why don't we have a conversation right now about all the wrong you sons of bitches and did, so we'll know who next. Because y'all all wrong except for me.
Right.
And we know he coming from y'all, but with the hair thing, was like, man, the writer wasn't even trying at that point. It was almost
like I'm tired. I want to go home.
No, the writer was like so busy trying to get to the torture part because
they were too busy jacking themselves off about how great they were.
Thank you.
Because he fucking pulls into the parking lot, and that's what I'm talking about. They have a flashback where he's like, he flashes back to her saying, him saying, I'll have your head. And then he's like, they mean her. I'm like, is this movie for really dumb people? Because they have to explain, they have to spoon feed everything to me. I don't want that.
Not typical, but.
But anyway, I will say that hers is probably one of the worst ones that happens because I'm like, don't peel that shit off.
Yeah, he showed it, breaking the pillow. You know, Tifflebot, so it at that point with the captain died, you know, it was like,
yeah.
Now I felt like the movie was just moving the audience from one torture to the next, which right. is the worst thing you want to do. And in the beginning, I'm going to be honest, it really felt like the little things. It had that little things vibe, you know, being out in California and things like that. And halfway through the movie, like at least the first half, it had that. You know, I didn't like the little things, but it was only because of the ending that I didn't like the little things.
Right.
The whole journey was good. And this thing had that journey going. But then it was like, it's a journey to torture. Ah, because that's what we do in these things. And it's like, okay, I get that. But it was so smart in the beginning that I thought they was going to like transform this series into like just being.
I did too.
Watch
I thought
somebody die.
Leading up to this shit, I was like, oh, they're wanting to rebrand a little bit.
Yes.
But then the plot is so loosely draped around the four or five torture scenes that we get, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
That it just falls apart. And I'm like, that's what bothers me so much. I don't like the torture. Okay. But like, I'm upset because you don't even care enough about it. It's just for that fucking shit. I'm like, if that's all it is, then just show me 15 to 20 minutes of just that shit.
Now let's talk
that's
about
what you really want.
Let's talk about the most worthless torture scene they showed. And that was the dad, Sam Jackson. Torture.
What was, I mean, I know they were draining his blood, but like,
it was so worthless. This one was done just for shock value because it didn't have to go down like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the scene with the partner that with the glass had way more tension and stakes.
Right, but also very dumb.
It was still like, okay, this is something because he was putting himself in peril. So it's revealed that the rookie partner is the killer. And I was so disappointed. I was like, come on. Really?
So I will say that at the beginning of this movie, Mike said, oh, it's the partner.
Goddamn, Mike.
And I was like,
goddamn.
Oh, yeah. I guess they can see that, right? Because he's a pig. He has the pig head on, right? He's a cop. He also hates bad cops, corrupt cops. So it turns out, obviously, so
I didn't,
part of the corruption.
I didn't see it was the partner. I didn't.
No, I mean, I have no idea whether or not I would see it or not because T already said it. So I have no idea whether know what I mean?
Like, I did not see it. And so when it happens, like, I was like, wow, really? Why would y'all do that? Because the chemistry between the detective and the rookie, I liked it. You know, I think it was a mistake to ruin it. I mean, it would have been better if the dad was the person or somebody else, you know. Tiff, the movie had so many problems.
So many problems.
And it's like.
It's just so many problems.
Here's the problem with the problems. Y'all created those problems. You could have if you wanted to do a detective story with this fucker doing like, you know, torture, you could have did it. You had a smart start. I thought they had a really smart start, but somewhere around the beginning of the second act, it just turned into like some Dumbo theater or something, you know? And I was just like, what the hell? And it just got worse and worse and worse.
Do not, you only have a few, in the grand scheme of things, your life is very short. You only have a few precious hours on this earth of free time. Do not waste it watching this trash.
Well, there we go.
Unless like fucking torture gives you a boner, then go ahead. Cause this is a fucking right up your alley.
And that's the funny thing, Tiff. When the torture stuff started, but every single time I looked away, guys, it's really not worth your time. There'll be better movies. So that's it, man. That's it. And that's all, Tiff. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button all the way to the top with my co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
You're goddamn all right, it has. And until next week, man, we're going to see. We might have, I think we're going to have a guest next week. Tiff, until next week, we will be.
What?
On
patrol. Sorry, you cut out there? So I was like, what's happening?
Oh, wait. Like, oh.